Hello, and welcome back to the Deonandia podcast. This is Dr. Raywat Deonandan, a global health epidemiologist, and today we have another episode in our special series in which my students in my fourth year international health theory class produce special podcast episodes in which they analyze specific papers. Today's installment is brought to us by Erica Frank, who has chosen to analyze a paper titled Evaluation of the Impact of the Voucher and Accreditation Approach on Improving Reproductive Behaviors and Status in Cambodia. You can find a copy of this paper if you go to the website at deonandan.com, click on podcast, and scroll down to this episode titled Reproductive Behavior in Cambodia. As always, if you want to ask questions or leave comments for the producers, you can tweet me at Deonandan, that's D-E-O-N-A-N-D-A-N, or leave a message in the comments section of the website. So, without further delay, here's Erica Frank.
Hello, my name is Erica Frank, and today I will be discussing the article entitled Evaluation of the Impact of the Voucher and Accreditation Approach on Improving Reproductive Behaviors and Status in Cambodia by Benjamin Bellows and colleagues, published by BMC Public Health. There are two main objectives for this study. The first goal is to determine whether or not the voucher and accreditation approach helps to increase access to, quality of, and reduce inequities in the use of selected reproductive health services. In this case, these include family planning, maternal care, and abortion services. The second goal is to evaluate how the voucher and accreditation approach impacts reproductive health behaviors. This study is a quasi-experimental design. That means that data will be collected before and after the implementation of the voucher scheme, and data will also be collected from a control group and an experimental group. The experimental group will include individuals that live in areas exposed to the voucher scheme. The control group include an equivalent population that are not exposed to a voucher scheme. The samples for the study will be drawn from 18 operational districts of Cambodia, that is, 9 operational districts for the control group and 9 operational districts for the voucher group. 20 facilities will then be chosen for the control group, and 20 facilities will be chosen for the voucher group. A number of surveys and interviews will be conducted throughout the study period in order to assess and compare health facilities, the quality of care, and the effectiveness of the voucher scheme. Facility inventories will be taken in order to determine the available resources. Interviews with around 120 service providers will be held for both the experimental and control clinics. Client-provider interactions will be observed in both voucher and non-voucher facilities, and clients will be interviewed after an appointment with a provider to measure quality and satisfaction. A population survey will also be conducted at the beginning and at the end of the study with a sample of 1,500 from the experimental group and 1,500 from the control group in order to build a view of the women's utilization of services. In addition, focus group discussions will be held with healthcare providers, key informants, and groups of male and female voucher and non-voucher users. These will help to gain a deeper understanding into the motivations, perceptions, and priorities of the local community regarding vouchers and service use. As mentioned earlier, this is a quasi-experimental design. A true experiment is considered the best way to show causality. However, not all situations allow for true experimental design, such as this one. In such cases, the quasi-experimental study is used, and it differs from the true experiment that there is no random assignment to who goes in the experimental and control groups. It is important to analyze the type of research methods used because they have a direct impact on the validity of the results. The fact that both quantitative and qualitative research procedures were used strengthens any conclusions that can be made. Quantitative methods involve gathering data in the form of numbers. Qualitative data, on the other hand, is gathered through language, such as interviews, in order to garner a more in-depth understanding of the results. In order to fully appreciate this study and its further implications, it is important to have an understanding of the voucher and accreditation approach. The article states that in order to deliver reproductive health services to low-income populations, total or partial subsidization is required. According to the World Bank's article, A Guide to Competitive Vouchers in Health, there are two approaches to subsidization: demand-side subsidies or supply-side subsidies. Supply-side subsidies cover either some or all of the costs of the inputs to health services. This means that assistance from the government goes to the provider rather than to the patient. While there are advantages to this form of subsidization, such as its simplicity and inexpensive nature, there are some disadvantages as well. If supply-side subsidies are implemented, there is no guarantee that the intended target will benefit from it. Supply-side subsidies are also associated with low-quality service because there is no incentive for the providers to deliver services above and beyond the bare minimum. A demand-side subsidy, on the other hand, directly links the intended beneficiary, the subsidy, and the desired output. The provider only receives money when a service is rendered. So, to boil it right down, supply-side subsidies focus on the service provider, while demand-side subsidies focus on the service user. The use of vouchers is a part of the output-based aid, or OBA, approach and is one of the many demand-side subsidy delivery strategies that can be implemented. The Guide to Competitive Vouchers in Health defines a voucher as a token that can be used in exchange for a restricted range of goods or services, and they tie the receipt of cash to particular goods provided by particular vendors at particular times. In this context, the vouchers are used in exchange for health services, and, as mentioned earlier, the vouchers offered through this study include family planning, maternal care, and abortion services. The next question that has to be answered is, how does a voucher scheme work? The World Bank outlined the following characteristics of a voucher scheme. First, the government, or donor agency, provides funding to a voucher agency. The vouchers are produced by the voucher agency, and then they get distributed to the target population. The voucher can then be redeemed to receive the good or service the voucher is specified for. In order for the provider to receive payment for the services rendered, the vouchers are returned to the voucher agency. It should be noted that the vouchers need to be affordable to the target population. The study article makes that clear by stating that the vouchers are sold at a price that has been determined to be affordable for the lowest income clients. Now that we have a better understanding of what a voucher scheme is, we can discuss the second part. What does accreditation mean? It's very simple. Only clinics that have been accredited may be involved in the voucher program. That means that they have been evaluated and deemed capable of delivering services at a specific standard of care. There are a number of advantages to using the voucher and accreditation system. The World Bank outlines the following advantages. First of all, the use of vouchers helps to ensure that the target population is actually receiving the intended benefits. The vouchers can be handed directly to the target individuals. Second, it makes monitoring and evaluation of the system easier. The vouchers can be tracked, keeping record of who used what voucher and the results of the services used. Third, by only using clinics that are accredited, this improves the level of care the target population is receiving, and it also provides an incentive for other clinics to improve their quality of care. This brings us to the fourth advantage, improving client satisfaction. The voucher and accreditation system gives clients the opportunity to choose which accredited clinic they would like to go to. This competition provides additional incentive to the clinics to offer the best service to attract clients, further improving quality of care. While these advantages are very important, it's not a perfect system. The World Bank indicates that there are some disadvantages that must be taken into consideration. First of all, voucher schemes are more expensive than some other systems that could be implemented. This is due to the sheer amount of administrative costs required to run such a scheme. Among other things, there are costs involved with producing the vouchers and implementing systems to ensure that they are not abused. This leads us into the second disadvantage, the potential for corruption. Voucher counterfeiting could become a potential issue. Fake vouchers could be made, or vouchers could be sold on the black market, leading to services being provided to individuals outside of the target population. Steps can be taken, however, to prevent this from happening. Computer programs can be developed to keep track of vouchers that have been redeemed and flag any inconsistencies that may occur. Also, having the recipients of the vouchers sign their name when they receive the voucher and then once again when they receive the service can help to ensure that the target population is utilizing the vouchers. We now have an understanding of what the voucher and accreditation system is. The next question that has to be answered is, why is this project necessary? Cambodia is a country in Southeast Asia with a population of 15.14 million people and is a low-income nation, according to the World Bank's website. As reported by the UN, the economy is largely based on garment exports, as well as tourism and construction industries. 80% of the population lives in rural areas, about half of the population is under 20 years of age, and one-third of the population lives below the poverty line. The health status of Cambodia has been improving over the years. For instance, the World Bank reports that in 2000, the life expectancy at birth was 62 years and has now increased to 71. While still quite low compared to other nations such as Canada, whose life expectancy is 82, the increase is dramatic. The voucher and accreditation program for this study is intended to further increase Cambodia's health status by targeting women who are pregnant or who could become pregnant. Pregnant women need access to affordable and high-quality prenatal care, delivery services, and postnatal care. Family planning services are important to help women have access to contraceptives in order to prevent unwanted pregnancies. And safe abortion services are also necessary so that women can terminate pregnancies, if they so choose, without jeopardizing their health. The following statistics on prenatal care, maternal mortality, contraception, and fertility rates from the World Bank's website provide a look at how well these needs are currently being met. In 2010, 89% of pregnant women received prenatal care at least once during pregnancy by skilled health personnel. But, according to the Global Health Observatory Data Repository, only 59% of women received prenatal care 4 times, which is the minimum recommended amount. In 2012, 74% of births were attended by skilled health staff. The maternal mortality ratio, which is the number of women who die during pregnancy and childbirth per 100,000 live births, was 200 in 2010. In 2013, it decreased to 170. To put that into perspective somewhat, in Canada, the maternal mortality ratio was 13 in 2010 and 11 in 2013. Which is much, much lower than Cambodia. The percentage of fertile married women in Cambodia who do not want to become pregnant and are not using contraception was 17% in 2010. The percentage of women who are practicing or whose sexual partners are practicing any form of contraception was 51% in 2010. The fertility rate, which is the number of children that would be born to a woman if she were to live to the end of her childbearing years, was 3.0 in 2009 and 2.9 in 2012. So why are these statistics important? Well, they help to determine whether or not maternal health is improving, which is one of the 8 Millennium Development Goals. In 2000, world leaders came together and committed to the 8 Millennium Development Goals, to be achieved by 2015. Maternal health improvement is the 5th Millennium Development Goal. Specifically, the aim is to reduce the maternal mortality ratio by 3/4 between 1990 and 2015 and to have universal access to reproductive health by 2015. According to the United Nations, only half pregnant women in developing regions receive the recommended minimum of 4 antenatal care visits. Complications during pregnancy or childbirth are one of the leading causes of death for adolescent girls. Some 140 million women worldwide who are married or in union say they would like to delay or avoid pregnancy, but do not have access to voluntary family planning. And most maternal deaths in developing countries are preventable through adequate nutrition, proper health care, including access to family planning, and the presence of a skilled birth attendant during delivery. As has been demonstrated, maternal health in Cambodia has improved over the years, but there is still much that has to be done in order to achieve the 5th Millennium Development Goal. That is why the voucher and accreditation system has been implemented in Cambodia. If it is determined that voucher and accreditation systems are worthwhile, there are wider implications that can be noted. The UN states that improving maternal health is also key to achieving the 4th Millennium Development Goal, which is reducing child mortality. If mothers receive proper care while they are pregnant, during childbirth, and after giving birth, that will increase the health of their children as well. Increasing maternal and child health will impact the health of the overall nation. If the program is determined a success, the next steps, according to the World Bank, would be to transition from the experimental project to a sustainable health program that can continue after the researchers conclude their study. The program would also have to increase in scale to ensure that more individuals are exposed to the voucher scheme than the original target population. But do voucher schemes actually work? The study article by Benjamin Bellows does not have a results section as it was just an outline of the study protocol, but it does list a few previous output-based aid interventions. For example, in the 1960s, Korea and Taiwan utilized an output-based aid intervention strategy which helped increase access to family planning, and Nicaragua focused on sexually transmitted infection services in 1995. I was also able to find an article on the World Health Organization's website entitled "Can Vouchers Deliver? An Evaluation of Subsidies for Maternal Healthcare in Cambodia" by Ellen Vanderpool and Associates. Their study was not able to detect meaningful changes in maternal or neonatal mortality associated with the introduction of vouchers. However, they did find that there was a larger shift from home births to public health center deliveries in districts with voucher schemes. So public health facilities were used more by women for childbirth in voucher districts. This indicates that the voucher scheme was successful in at least one degree in their study. In summation, the voucher and accreditation scheme is an approach that may provide a viable solution to reproductive behaviors and status in Cambodia, but a thorough analysis of the results of the study, as well as further research, would be required to come to an educated conclusion.